Ever get that like feeling, you start looking up I don't know, a pasta recipe or something, and then like 2 hours later you find yourself watching this YouTube video about I don't know, the history of noodles or
Oh,
something.
yeah, totally. Happens to me all the time.
Right. But have you ever thought about why, like why those specific videos, you know?
It's those recommendation algorithms, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what we're going to be diving deep into today, the power of those recommended for you algorithms, especially how they're impacting young people.
Right. And we're using this this really fascinating blog post from Mothcloud called "The Hidden Dangers of Recommendation Algorithms for Young People."
Okay,
And
yeah.
what's really interesting about it is that it goes beyond like the typical screen time debate
Yeah.
and really looks at how these algorithms are shaping what we see and do online.
Right. It's almost like they're curating our reality,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
The blog calls it the rabbit hole effect. And they have some pretty wild examples. Like you start researching, I don't know, guitar chords or something, and next thing you know, you're seeing all this stuff about conspiracy theories about like hidden messages in music.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? These algorithms aren't necessarily designed to give us good information. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not about accuracy. It's more about keeping us engaged. And to understand like why that is, you have to think about the business model behind a lot of these platforms.
So, okay, walk me through that. How does keeping me watching cat videos or whatever translate into profits for like a company like YouTube?
Well, it's all about attention. The longer you're on the platform, the more ads you see, and the
Wow.
more likely you are to click on something.
Right? Yeah.
So it's about capturing our attention and then monetizing it.
So basically, the algorithm wants to keep us scrolling and clicking, even if what we're seeing, isn't like good for us or even true, right?
Yeah, that's the danger. And it's especially concerning for like young people who haven't really developed those critical thinking skills yet.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And speaking of manipulation, the blog also talks about targeted advertising. And honestly, this is something I've experienced. Like, literally, I was talking to a friend about needing new hiking boots. And then, like, minutes later, my entire Instagram feed was like nothing but ads for hiking boots. It was so weird.
Yeah, it's a really common experience, like that feeling of being watched, and it kind of shows just how, how sophisticated these data collection things have become.
Yeah.
I mean, they're gathering all this information about what we do online, our interests, even our conversations,
Right.
and then they're using it to build these like super detailed profiles
Yeah.
that advertisers can then use to target us. It's
Yeah.
like really precise.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to suggest a product you think I might like, but it's another thing entirely to use my data to like manipulate me. And speaking of manipulation, the blog also talks about the mental health impact of all this curated content.
Yeah. And the AI supplement that came with the blog actually included some research from the JAMA Network.
Oh,
And
that.
it shows a pretty clear link between too much social media and, mental health issues, especially in young people.
Yeah, like what kind of issues are we talking
Well,
about?
things like anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, even body image issues.
Wow.
And the supplement points out that it's not just about the content itself. It's more about this constant exposure to like idealized versions of other people's lives. So like you're always seeing these images of perfection, and that can really lead to unhealthy comparisons, and it can make you feel inadequate.
Right. Like it's like living in a highlight reel, right?
Right.
Everyone else's life seems amazing and you're just stuck with like the behind the scenes reality.
Exactly. And for young people, who are already figuring out who they are and what their worth is, that can be really damaging.
Yeah, definitely. The blog uses this really powerful phrase to describe this, erosion of free thought.
Oh, yeah.
What do they mean by that?
Well, think about it this way. These algorithms are like constantly feeding us content they think we'll like, right? Based on what we've done before and the data they've collected. And this can create these, what we call echo chambers, where you're only exposed to information that like confirms your existing beliefs.
Oh, yeah. It's like being surrounded by a bunch of yes men.
Exactly. You never get challenged. You never have to confront different perspectives.
So you never grow, really.
Right. And that can lead to a really like narrow worldview.
Makes sense. So what can we do about this? Is there any way to like break free from the grip of these algorithms?
Well, the blog does offer some potential solutions. and some of them are pretty radical.
Oh, okay, like what?
Well, one of the most intriguing ones is making recommendation algorithms optional.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, instead of them being automatic, users would have to actively choose to, to use them.
So it'd be an opt-in system.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Gives us back some control, you know?
Yeah, totally. Instead of feeling like we're being, like, manipulated behind the scenes.
Right. The blog also talks about the need for more transparency.
Yeah, like knowing what data is being collected.
Exactly. And how it's being used to, like, you know, personalize our experience.
Right. No more of this, like, black box algorithm stuff.
Right. We need to understand how these recommendations are made. We need to see the data they're using and know how they're shaping our online experiences.
Makes sense. And then there's the whole issue of data privacy, right? Especially when it comes to, like, younger users who might not really understand what it means to share their information online.
Right. And the blog argues that we need stricter laws to protect young people from, you know, exploitation and manipulation.
Yeah. We need to limit how much information companies can collect and use, especially when it comes to, like, personalized content and targeted ads.
Right.
It's about creating a safer, you know, digital environment, especially for those who are most vulnerable. And finally, the blog talks about this huge challenge of global collaboration on digital ethics.
Yeah, this is where things get really complicated.
Yeah.
But it's super important. I mean, technology doesn't, like, stop at borders, right?
Right.
And these issues affect everyone everywhere. So we need to, like, develop international standards and guidelines
right. To
make sure these protections extend beyond, you know, just individual countries.
Yeah. It's a tall order. But, you know, the blog also gets into some specific examples of how these algorithms are playing out in the real world. And some of them are pretty alarming, especially when it comes to platforms like YouTube.
Yeah, we'll definitely dive into that more in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we got sidetracked there, we were talking about the need for global collaboration on digital ethics.
Uh-huh.
And this is where it gets really interesting, right? Because the blog points to the challenges of holding these global tech giants accountable.
Yeah, it's like a total David and Goliath situation, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we've got these massive corporations with tons of resources and influence, and then we have, like, individuals, often young people, who are trying to navigate this whole digital world. It's like not even a fair fight.
Totally. It's a huge power imbalance.
Yeah.
And it definitely needs to be addressed.
And the blog really highlights YouTube as a concerning example, especially given how popular it is with, like, kids and teens. I mean, we all know how easy it is to fall down a YouTube rabbit hole, even as adults, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But just imagine the impact that can have on, like, a young mind that's still developing.
And the AI supplement, it actually pulled in some real-world examples of how those rabbit holes can lead to some pretty disturbing content.
Oh.
Even on platforms like YouTube Kids, which is supposed to be, like, a safe space for younger viewers.
It's kind of scary to think that even with parental controls and, you know, supposedly kid-friendly platforms, these algorithms can still show kids stuff that's not appropriate or even, like, harmful.
Yeah, it really shows the need for greater accountability, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, platforms need to be responsible for the content they're recommending, especially when it comes to kids.
Right, yeah. And this is where the blog's call for global collaboration becomes even more important.
Totally.
Because we need to make sure these safeguards are in place no matter where in the world a child is accessing the internet, right?
Exactly. It's not something that individual countries can solve on their own. It has to be a global solution.
So what does that solution look like? Well, the blog suggests a few key areas to focus on. And we've already talked about a couple of them, like making those recommendation algorithms optional.
Right. Giving users more control over, you know, whether they even want to use those systems. But the blog also goes deeper into, like, the challenges of actually making that happen.
Yeah. Like, what kind of challenges?
Well, for one, there's the question of how you design an opt-in system that's actually user-friendly and, like, intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be so buried in settings that nobody can find it, but it also can't disrupt the user experience so much that it becomes annoying.
Yeah, that's a tough balance to strike.
Definitely. And then there's the potential impact on the platforms themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens if people actually start opting out of those algorithms?
Yeah, like, how does that affect their revenue?
Exactly. Because a lot of these platforms are heavily dependent on those targeted ads.
So they got to find another way to make money. Basically.
Right. And that's why the blog also talks about, exploring different business models.
Okay. So, like, moving away from this whole attention grabbing, ad driven approach.
Yeah, exactly. They suggest things like, subscription models where users pay for a premium experience without ads, mm-hmm. or even community-supported models where users contribute to the platform in different ways.
Mm, interesting.
It's about like rethinking how we fund and structure these online spaces to actually prioritize user well-being over profit.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea. And then there's the issue of transparency, which feels like a really big hurdle to overcome. I mean, how do you make these super complex algorithms understandable to like the average person?
It's a huge challenge, and the blog definitely acknowledges that. They say that achieving true transparency would require a major shift in how these systems are designed and explained.
Okay.
So, you know, things like simplifying the user interface, providing clear explanations of how algorithms work, maybe even offering tools that allow users to see how their own data is being used to personalize their experience.
That sounds like a massive undertaking.
It is. But the blog argues that it's absolutely essential because without transparency, we're basically in the dark, right? Letting these hidden forces shape our online lives without like really understanding what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And then of course there's the whole issue of stricter data privacy laws, yeah, which seems like a pretty obvious solution, especially when we're talking about protecting kids.
Absolutely. And the blog highlights some promising initiatives like the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, in Europe, which has set a pretty high bar for data privacy standards.
Yeah. But even with those regulations, enforcing them can be tough, right? And what about countries that don't have those kinds of protections at all?
Right. That's where the need for global collaboration is super important. Hmm. We need international agreements that set like minimum standards for data privacy and child protection. And we need ways to make sure those standards are actually enforced everywhere.
Sounds like a long road ahead. Makes you wonder, like, are we actually up to the challenge?
I know, right? But the blog, while acknowledging how difficult these issues are, they also have a sense of optimism. They believe that change is possible. But it's going to take a real effort from everyone, individuals, policymakers, and tech companies.
It's going to take a village, basically.
Totally. And while these solutions might seem radical, I think they're necessary if we want to create a digital world that's truly safe, equitable, and, you know, empowering for everyone, especially kids.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that brings us back to the main question that this blog poses. You know, if algorithms are shaping our online experience so much, are we really in control of our own choices and opinions? Or are we just like becoming passive consumers of content?
Right, being steered in directions we may not even be aware of.
Exactly. And to dig into that question even further, we'll be joined by a special guest after the break. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been talking about all this stuff with recommendation algorithms, how they work, what's dangerous about them, and what we can maybe do to fix things. And now we're joined by someone who's really seeing this firsthand, a high school teacher who's seen how these algorithms are like impacting young people.
It's definitely been a wild ride these past few years trying to navigate this whole new digital world with my students.
I bet. So we've talked a lot about the like theoretical stuff, but what are you seeing in your classroom? Like, how are young people actually engaging with these algorithms?
You know, it's kind of all over the place. Some kids, they get it. They understand how the algorithms work. They even know about like the biases, and they use that to their advantage, you know. But then there are others who are totally clueless. Like, they just accept whatever the algorithm shows them. They don't even think to question like why they're seeing that stuff or if it's even true.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's like with anything else. Some people are just like naturally more critical thinkers. But it really shows how important education is, like specifically digital literacy.
Right, right.
We need to like give kids the tools they need to, you know, navigate this online world, to be smart about what they're seeing, to be able to tell what's real and what's not, and to understand like what's happening behind the scenes.
Totally. It's not about like hating on technology. It's about using it responsibly.
Exactly.
So what can parents and educators do? What are some like practical tips to help kids develop that digital literacy?
I think the most important thing is just talking to them, you know, like really talk to your kids, explain how these algorithms work, tell them why they might be seeing certain things, and encourage them to like ask questions about what they see online.
Yeah.
Help them learn to think critically so they can make their own choices about what they watch and how they use these platforms.
It's about empowering them.
Yeah.
Right. So they're not just, you know, passively consuming whatever's put in front of them.
Exactly. And it's also really important to be a good example yourself. Like, show your kids that you're thinking about what you're doing online. You're not just like mindlessly scrolling. You're actually, engaging with it critically.
Oh, that's so important.
Yeah.
We can't expect kids to be responsible if we're not doing it ourselves.
Totally. And it's not just about individual responsibility either. You know,
Yeah.
we need bigger changes. Like the blog talks about stronger regulations, more transparency from the tech companies, and global collaboration on digital ethics. Those are like huge issues to tackle, but they're essential if we want to create a digital world that's safe and fair for everyone, especially young people.
Yeah. Like, it's not just a tech issue, it's a societal issue. And
Exactly.
it's going to take all of us working together to find solutions.
Right. And I think it starts with, just admitting there's a problem, having open and honest conversations about, how this technology is affecting us, and working together to create like a digital world that's actually good for people.
Well said. That's a great place to wrap up our deep dive for today. We covered a lot, from how recommendation algorithms work to the potential dangers and the things we can do to address those challenges.
And it's not just some abstract debate. It's having real-world effects, especially for young people growing up in this, increasingly digital age.
So we really encourage you, our listeners, to keep this conversation going. Talk to your kids, your friends, even your, elected officials. The more we understand these things, the better equipped we'll be to deal with them and create a future where technology works for us, not the other way around.
And don't forget to check out the show notes on our website for links to all the source material. We hope this deep dive has given you, something to think about, maybe even inspired you to take action. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the world around us.